Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a new recording, man.
Yeah, brother,
I dig it.
Stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning, Sam. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Earl. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine, as always. Yeah, it's a beautiful, beautiful day. You know, I thought we were going to get some rain. Did you get rain here?
No, actually. I'm really glad that we didn't. The sun has been really nice this morning.
Yeah, well, I need some rain. My lawn needs some rain. My plants need some rain.
Yeah.
It's amazing how you go to feast or famine, but we'll get more than our share. There are those who clearly don't want right now. We're in the midst of all the great things that happened during the summer, and so right now people don't want rain interfering with that. But what I will say is, you know, the farmers and others, it's, you know, we can use a little rain, and so anyway, that's kind of where we are. Okay, so here's here's a story I want to tackle right away, and our phone lines are open as always at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. And again, I spend a lot of time talking about mental illness. And we live in a society now that looks at mental illness from a few different ways. And I'm wondering, does mental illness matter? If people have mental illness, are they responsible for their actions? And so I know, again, a lot about mental illness since I've been living with it through my son for the better part of 30 years. And we live in a society that, based on the courts, when they determine through doctors that people have mental illnesses, that they're not responsible for their actions. But I don't know how people feel. This guy, and I forget his name right now, who ran down six and killed, Daryl Brooks Jr.
Daryl Brooks, yep.
Who killed six people in the Waukesha Christmas parade, and now is claiming mental illness. What are your thoughts? 844-967-2789. You know, that happened here in Waukesha. And I'm sure that people's emotions and feelings are still pretty raw from what took place, what happened. The fact that he's claiming mental illness, does it affect you at all? Clearly, he's not going to be able to hide from mental illness if he doesn't have it. There's going to be three or four different doctors who are going to examine him and determine whether or not the guy is mentally ill. But even with that, I don't think that's going to be acceptable to people who have experienced the pain of what took place here, in Waukesha. A year ago. I mean, you just know that the pain is still there. It's still raw. And yet, you know, mental illness is real. And he's you can say, well, he didn't claim it right away, but he's claiming it now. And so I'm just curious about what your thoughts are about that, because mental illness is real. I don't think anybody should hide, commit a crime knowingly, and then hide behind mental illness. I know Robert Hinckley, the guy who, you know, tried to assassinate Ronald Reagan, has now been freed after 40-some-odd years. He tried to murder the president of the United States. They found out that he was mentally ill. And so he's now got an opportunity, you know, to live the rest of his life, because somehow I guess they feel that he's cured and not a danger anymore to society. It is a difficult time if you are from that area, Sam, as you are, and you remember it well.
Yeah, it was actually right outside my apartment window.
Oh, really?
I was watching the parade outside my window, just standing in my living room, and saw it happen. Yeah.
And so that is something you'll never forget for the rest of your life.
No. And we had no idea what was going on. So, you know, everyone backed away from the windows, and, you know, people are like, is someone shooting? What's happening? No, like, I will never forget that.
You know, again, the fact that he's, you know, he's claiming mental illness, and the fact that all of those things are going to have to be sorted out. I sometimes wonder, you know, people who have mental illness not diagnosed, and then in this instance, you know, I'm not saying he doesn't have mental illness. We'll soon find out. Time will tell. But we've got to do a better job in this society of dealing with people with mental illness, and yet we are now hearing that this is something that people are going to spend, our government is going to spend more time dealing with. You can't deal with mental illness by saying we're going to deal with mental illness. You have to put forth the effort and the financial resources that will have to be forthcoming. Because the amount of mental illness in our society is just amazing. And when you even think about the people who have mental illnesses that have not been diagnosed, living in this society, I've said it before, makes it extremely difficult to succeed. And the pressures and stresses of living in this nation. And, you know, I don't understand why life, the gift that it is, and the way things are situated in the life, are so difficult for people to make it. You know, I do know that going back to when I was a younger person, there was always mental illness. And I knew of many people. We didn't have to wonder, because people who were schizophrenic and bipolar, like my son is, in many instances, those people were locked away. And so they did not live a life where they had freedoms to move around in a society. You know, my son is not a threat to himself or anyone else. He lives a difficult life just the same. But, you know, he's not at a point where he doesn't take his medication, which controls the things that happen in his life. This guy, again, Darryl Brooks Jr., should not be ever be free again in his life. If they find out he's mentally ill, he'll be locked up in a mental institution for the remainder of his life. If, in fact, he is not deemed to be mentally ill, he's going to be locked up in prison the rest of his life. Either way, he's not going to see the light of day ever again, which no one questions. That absolutely is going to be the outcome of what happens to him. And for those who may say, well, hey, he was mentally ill, you got to take that into consideration. Well, they will take it into consideration. But either way it goes, he's never going to see the light of day ever again, and that's the way it should be. They're going to send a resounding message to him and what he did. No person is deserving of ever being free again when you do something that heinous. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be back. Back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I want to talk about another subject that is near and dear to my heart and breaks my heart every day. And can you imagine, in the city of Milwaukee, another 15-year-old boy was killed in a shooting on Milwaukee's northwest side on yesterday. It's the 14th juvenile homicide victim this year. According to police reports, the shooting marks the seventh homicide in a six-day period, bringing the city's total count to 109, according to police. That compares to 79 homicides as of the same date in both 2020 and 2021, 2 years in which Milwaukee set new homicide records. So, 79 homicides on the same date in 20 and 21 led to record-breaking years. 79 was that number. We're already 30 above that. And where this stops and ends, nobody knows. But the blood that's flowing in the streets in the city of Milwaukee is just unbelievable. And the fact that out of those 109 murders, 14 of them have been juveniles. And, you know, what are juveniles doing? There used to be a time when, you know, the murders would be solely of men, and they would be adult men. They wouldn't be of women. But all of that has changed. Any and everybody is being murdered now. Women used to be off limits. I don't know what the number of women are that have been killed in the city, but it is unbelievable. I'm going to go and check that. But here's a 15-year-old. His name was Dakell N. Hampton. He suffered fatal gunshot injuries around 3:45 a.m. So here's the question. 15 years old. He's on the street at 3:45 a.m. And a lot of these murders of young children, you got to ask the question, what is he on a school night, right? He's on the street at 3:45 in the morning. What good can happen on the street at 3:45 in the morning? Nothing good happens at that time on the street. When anybody is out on the street at 3:45 in the morning, look, there were times when I would be on the street at 3 o'clock in the morning. But the only reason I was on the street at 3 o'clock in the morning, Sam, is I was working third shift.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say to get to here, maybe, when I have to get here so early. I don't know.
I mean, I would be, you know, maybe during my lunch break.
Right.
Which was at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, you'd maybe go outside for a little bit, but lunch is only half an hour. But why is anybody on the street at 3 o'clock in the morning other than no good?
That's what they say. Nothing good happens after midnight, don't you know?
Well, yeah, but, you know, kid is 15 years old. Mm-hmm. Where's his family?
My mom would have had my booty.
The area was the scene of another fatal shooting just 2 days earlier. Police were called to the 8800 block of North 95th Street at 1:20 p.m. Sunday, where a 25-year-old Brian Colin was shot and killed after an argument. Police said a 68-year-old man was arrested in connection with the incident. Alderwoman Chantia Lewis, who represents the area, said in a statement Tuesday that this is absolutely unacceptable, that such violence in our community keeps occurring at the expense of our young adults and children. Hey, if you the family of young people, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, you have to know where your children are. You know, when I was a kid, they would always have public, what do you call those things, Sam, on television? They would
PSAs,
public service announcements that would say, parents, do you know where your children are? It's 11 p.m. Parents, do you know where your children are? Because there was a law that would not allow children under 18 to be outside. Basically, I mean, you could be in front of your house, but not other places at that point. In time. But for heaven's sakes, 3:45 a.m., this young boy is, and I mean young boy, is out on the streets doing God knows what, and he loses his life. For many years, I've expressed the need for more help and resources. However, these calls for aid have fallen on deaf ears, and we are often left out of resource, out of recourse. Allocations due to being a police district that is seen as not needing step up patrols and manpower. This neglect is not only hurtful to our already underserved communities, but does a disservice to Milwaukee as a whole. Today, I'm calling on the city business and philanthropic community to provide resources so that we can have a safer summer on the Northwest Side. Lewis said she is planning a youth lock-in event Friday. She directed anyone who would like to learn more about it, emailing welockmilwaukee at gmail.com. Of the other homicides and non-fatal shootings reporting since June 23rd, 8 occurred on the city's north and northwest sides, 3 on the west side, and 3 on the south side, according to police. Allocation A location for one incident was not provided. Victims in those incidents ranged in age from a 16-year-old boy injured in the shooting to a 64-year-old fatal shooting of a woman on the 100 block of East Chambers. Police said shooters were sought for all but one incident. And the worst part about all of it and all of these shootings is less than 50% of the people are apprehended. So guess what? If you shoot and kill someone and get away, the chances are more than likely you're going to shoot and kill somebody else. The first one is easy. Then, I mean, may not be easy, but anything after that is easy. So, just more heartbreaking news, and I don't know if there's any way or any answer to making this any better. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Be right back. To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, Sam, there's this construct about hardening schools. Do you know what that means?
No.
Okay, so we've had all of these killings and these shootings and slaughtering and massacres of children in these schools all over the country. And so the answer to that by the Republicans is we've got to harden the schools. And so what they mean by hardening the schools to me is absolutely insane. And I do know that this is not the way schools are supposed to be. So it wasn't that long ago you were in high school.
Right.
And can you imagine they want to add bulletproof doors and bulletproof windows, reinforced fences, armed guards, and armed teachers?
Oh, my God.
So that's what they want to do to the schools, grade schools, middle schools, high schools.
Because that's what should be on the children's mind instead of, I don't know, schoolwork?
Well, this is what they're attempting to do, spend billions billions of dollars, because in the minds of Republicans, that's how you fix what has happened with the these massacres in schools over the last several decades. And how is that the answer? Instead of addressing, isn't it easy to address the gun part of that?
Right, you would think so. At least that's what I thought. You know, save some money, save some time, save some of like the children's psyche. But
I mean, bulletproof windows in all the schools. Bulletproof doors, you know, make the schools into fortresses where, you know, nobody can do anything to get into the schools. It's just asinine, you know, because they just don't want to address what the real issue is. I'll never understand the mentality of people who claim to be on the right side of things. Well, how much money, how much tax money are you going to blow in that? You know, 99.9% of the schools, you know, 99.9999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 being attacked, right? I mean, there's only, and one is too many. But if you think the answer is militarizing all the schools, you're ignorant. We, you know, the we already talk about the fact that there isn't, you know, that there's not enough money in this country to deal with all these other issues. And now you're going to do some things that are just absolutely foolhardy. When the real answer to it is the easy accessibility to those automatic weapons are at the root of it. So everybody talks about, great, we're finally going to get something done with the gun issue in this country. And everybody celebrate, oh, look at, they've been able to work together. But they didn't work together to address what the biggest issue is, and that's the easy accessibility to automatic weapons. You know, you want to spend billions and billions of dollars to put bulletproof windows up, bulletproof doors, you know, security guards, armed security guards, armed teachers. That's the only answer that you have to address what we know the real answer to this is? I just, for the life of me, never will understand the thought processes of people who want to make things much more difficult than they have to be. You know, Democrats and Republicans sat down for the last month or so negotiating what they should do, what the issues are, what the answers are, what's the important part of connection to all of these massacres in the schools. And we do know it is the fact that the person who walked into those schools had automatic weapons for the most part. Not every single one of them, but the majority of them. And instead of addressing that issue, you want to go through all these other things. For heaven's sakes, bulletproof doors. How many bulletproof doors are you going to need in schoolhouses? And again, a waste of money. Bulletproof windows. All of those different things. And somebody comes up with those ideas, and then the rest of the people say, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's go with that. When is common sense ever going to enter into things?
At least they're finally letting us have more than one bulletproof door.
Yeah. You know?
Like, but what was that? Like, everything they are suggesting is ridiculous. One door, you or know, bulletproof door.
I don't know what a bulletproof door costs, but I can only imagine what one bulletproof door would cost, but to put them in every classroom, right?
Right.
I mean, and all the windows are replaced.
Every window.
Yeah, and somehow, and who's shooting out windows? What sense does that make? Mm-hmm. Where has somebody came in and shot out the windows to get at the students?
Isn't that a good
it
point?
It has not happened, okay? But yet, again, these are people who claim to be Republicans, who claim to have the answers to all the issues in our society. And yet, I don't know, for those who claim to be that, I don't, you know. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Hey, Tom, what's going on, man?
Hey, Earl, first off, we the people are the government, ultimately, and we can never forget that. And the Republican Party is the pro-death party. What I'd like to say, Earl, is that I always say what bipartisan means. Bipartisan means that both parties are bought off by the same donors. That's what bipartisan means to me. So obviously they got together, said, let's make this bipartisan so each of us can get our donor base to agree with this. Of course, the Republicans in about a year from now will be screaming and yelling about how we spend money so foolishly.
Yeah, but Tom, bulletproof doors in the schools, bulletproof windows. Somebody comes up with that as a solution, and it moves forward.
And that's what I'm saying, Earl. It's like the teachers don't even have enough to pay for the supplies in their schoolroom, and they're going to give them bulletproof doors. Take away the damn guns, take away the ammunition, and you know what? It'll go down, and it'll actually save money for all of you fiscal hawks out there, you know, who believe that we're spending too much money of our tax dollars. There you go once again, always being able to come up with money when it comes to security or when it comes to war. When it comes to war, boy, oh, boy, we have the money then. I mean, this is just so disgusting. I can't even imagine going to a school where you have to worry about this.
Can you imagine, Tom? They call it hardening the schools.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean.
Nice messaging.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? There'll be people who will agree. Well, I agree.
You're going to have CJ. You're going to have all of them calling up. And what they're going to say? They're going to say, well, it's time for some law and order. It's time to start shaping these kids up and making sure that they fly right. And let's make sure they have discipline. And, you know, where discipline is not being in a military school. Donald Trump was in a military school, and look what happened to him. Should be your case in point of why you should never have military schools. Yeah, this is absolutely insanity, and this country is better just collectively get their crap together.
You always say we the people out of government. We the people need to stand up and say, I don't want my schools hardened.
100%.
We don't want that.
Why is it all the crazies that are always showing up at the school board meetings? Maybe they're all living off the government. They don't have time to do anything else but go to the school board meetings. But my God, where are the sane people? Go to the school board meetings and start talking for your children.
Hey, Tom.
Start loving your children over their guns.
Tom, thank you very much for the call. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. That's right. We got it hard in the schools. All right. Be right back. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I want to talk now about another injustice. Injustice after injustice after injustice. The Flint water crisis. Many of you may remember that. Many years back now, I don't know, 6 years ago, it was found out that the governor, Rick Snyder, and eight others made a decision to change where the water for the people who lived in Flint, Michigan, got their water from and found a cheaper alternative. And as it turned out, that cheaper alternative was full of lead, poisoned hundreds of thousands of people. Many people died. And so when you made national news, national headlines for months after they found out the poisoning of children, too numerous to even mention, whose lives have been affected from birth to now, even all of these years later, and will have impacted their lives for the rest of their lives. Well, you know, it was time now for, you know, the hearings, and those things have been completed. Listen to the responses of what people received for poisoning American citizens who didn't know any better. Because of where they lived, many of them have been impacted and affected for the rest of their lives, and especially young children, their total lives. Somebody should have had to pay a price for that. But no, in America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, charges against former Michigan Governor Rick Snyder and eight others in the Flint water contamination scandal have been dropped by the state Supreme Court. State laws merely authorize a judge to investigate, subpoena witnesses, and issue arrest warrants, but do not authorize the judge to issue indictments. The court's 6-0 opinion reads, that's the state Supreme Court of Michigan, which knew that what Rick Snyder and his cronies did caused death, caused permanent injury to children for the rest of their lives, Legionnaire's disease, and they get to walk free. Because what? Because this issue, state law merely authorizes a judge to investigate subpoenas, witnesses, and issue arrest warrants, but do not authorize the judge to issue indictments. Attorney General Dana Nessel took office in 2019 and assembled a new team to investigate Snyder and a slew of advisors and officials who were in charge when Flint's water supply became contaminated with lead beginning 5 years earlier. An outbreak of Legionnaire's disease in 2014 and 2015 was attributed to issues with the city's water as well. Their alleged crimes included, among others, misconduct in office, willful neglect of duty, and involuntary manslaughter. Genesee County Judge David Newbolt reviewed the evidence and issued indictments as so-called one-man grand jury Tuesday opinions argues. Newbolt considered the evidence behind closed doors and then issued indictments against defendants. The opinion states noting that unlike a grand jury made up of citizens, a one-man grand jury, that's a judge, do not require a jury oath and thus cannot initiate charges by issuing indictments. Hey, American citizens, why is it that we talk about making sure other people serve time for their crimes, and we constantly talk about the crimes of the average person and what they do, and we want them locked up? How come people like Rick Snyder, a man who's at the center of all of these people's lives being impacted and affected, and children for the rest of their life, through no fault of their own, from trusting the government that the water is going to be clean, and you find out there were deals struck and money made, and the people who did that get to walk free in America? I get it. It's in Flint, Michigan, and that's where poor people live. So, maybe if that was something that took place in a rich section of town, it wouldn't have been tolerated. But how are we supposed to reconcile that? How are we supposed to say we live in the greatest nation on earth when we see things like this happen? And why is that not front page news? Why is that not on the evening news? Why don't we demand that things like that come to the forefront? And why don't we then fight to support people? Because if they've done it in Flint, Michigan, you can rest assured they've done it other places, like in the city where I live, where they found out that the lead poisoning of children is even worse than it is in Flint, Michigan. And in rural areas of this state and of this nation, where they poison the people who trust the government, and yet they get to walk free. My guest that'll be joining me after the break is an attorney, and a good friend and a former alderman in the city of Milwaukee, who now lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm going to have a dialogue with him about, you know, he's an attorney. He's had to go through what these laws mean and all of those things. But I wonder how he feels, you know, swearing the oath of all of those different things. And then you see that that stuff really means nothing. Really means nothing. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. I just, you know, don't. It's hard to trust our government. It truly is hard to trust the government of the United States. And maybe you say, well, it's not the government, it's the people. As Tom from LA always says, the people make up the government. The government doesn't make decisions on its own. It's not, you know, human. People representing government do this. Got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Attorney Fred Gordon. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show, 844-967-2789. We'll be back. Nobody knows.